Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here on this Friday into the lunch hour. And, you know, we talk often about Canada's export economy, and Saskatchewan plays a pretty big role in that. Products like potash and uranium, grain, energy, which we've been talking about, forestry, and a whole lot more. And we're going to see some substantial growth in those areas. Our province's GDP, according to Stats Canada, sits at an all-time high of $80.5 billion. Saskatchewan, second place in the country for real GDP growth, above the national average of 1.6%. So that's the good news. The other side of it is there's problems still existing in supply chain, reliability, rail capacity, trade infrastructure, the impact of the U.S. tariffs, all of these things. So that is the backdrop that the Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce hosted a discussion this morning focused on Canada's export future, trade corridors, and infrastructure investment. They had Minister Stephen McKinnon joining them, Canada's Minister of Transport, and we were lucky enough to catch up with Minister McKinnon first thing this morning. In fact, just before the show, I was able to chat with him, and I want to play part of that conversation for you now. Minister McKinnon, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Evan.
I know it was a bit of a journey for you to get to Saskatchewan. You were supposed to fly from Edmonton, but the storm, I guess, had other ideas. So you got to do a bit of a prairie drive, I understand.
Absolutely. A great drive, notwithstanding these very... I was born in Prince Edward Island, so I thought I knew what wind felt like, but that was quite something yesterday.
Very windy day, for sure. Can we talk about the announcements that you made while you were in Edmonton? It was really around some supply chain expansion. Will any of those announcements have a positive impact for Saskatchewan?
Oh, heavens, yes, and many more to come, Evan. Part of what I'm doing in Western Canada is talking to shippers, talking to people who dig stuff, create stuff, manufacture things, and want to get them to markets, and people who import machinery or goods for folks in Western Canada and throughout the country. So important that we improve upon the performance of our transport system. You know, talk to any grain grower, talk to anyone in the mining industry. They'll tell you we have some things to fix. We have some port facilities to improve. And the announcement in Edmonton, which your listeners may not know, is an airport cargo hub, which really fits in an ecosystem of logistics and distribution and transportation businesses. That these things create thousands of jobs, ultimately, over time. We live in the second largest landmass in the world, and transportation is something we have to be really, really good at. So I'm very focused on improving that.
I'm wondering about, in your role as a Minister of Transport, we see in this province, we really, I feel like almost on a yearly basis, feel stoppages of rail, stoppages of ports because of labor challenges. Is there anything that can be done to try and prevent that? Because as you can imagine, it impacts resource sectors, ag producers alike.
I'm glad you asked that question. That's a very important question. In fact, the government is contemplating changes to the Canada Labor Code that really would improve upon the labor relations system in the country, especially in those federally regulated industries like transportation, as you referred to. People have good careers in the transport sector. We need more pilots. We need more truck drivers. We need more engineers on our trains. But what's happened is that people have really felt like they've been taken hostage with these last minute negotiations and threats of strikes or lockouts. And so we need to get to a more predictable, more stable labor relations framework. The government's currently out consulting on these, and there should be news very, very soon. My colleague, the Minister of Employment, has really navigated a consultation period here that I know grain growers and everyone you just referred to will have participated in and made their voices known.
Canada's Minister of Transport, Minister Stephen McKinnon, is my guest. Interesting timing to be in Alberta for you this week, given the fact that they're having discussions around a referendum, this notion of independence. That is not a foreign concept in Saskatchewan. There are people that talk about that. It's this feeling of frustration with the federal government, this feeling of being ignored. How do you respond to that when you're confronted with it in our province?
Well, first and foremost, and the most obvious point is no one's ignoring Saskatchewan. In fact, I'm here quite enthusiastically. I was speaking yesterday with participants in the mining industry, talked to shippers, talked to workers all throughout this province, and Saskatchewan is an essential part of Canada's federation, and we value its economic and other contributions enormously. And I think there's reason to believe the future is very bright here. You know, we have a prime minister who's going to India and selling Saskatchewan uranium. He's going to China. And I just read that canola exports, Evan, are up 65% year over year. That is just an extraordinary accomplishment. We take the concerns and the preoccupations of the folks in Saskatchewan extremely seriously, and we'll continue to do so. We want to make things work better. We want to understand how people want to see things improve. But this is a government that intends to act. And with respect to the Prime Minister, as you may know, he's in Calgary today with Premier Smith. And I think folks are going to be very, very intrigued and probably satisfied with what comes out of that.
So, you know, if we just stay on the talk about Western frustration right now, because it is a real thing, and many people talk about it, not all people want to leave Canada, but they certainly want to find a way to rectify this. Clearly, I mean, I'm stating the obvious, but we have a majority of federal MPs from Saskatchewan that are conservatives. And so we watch this debate in Ottawa, this discussion, and you were involved in the changing of the composition of the committees. Now, I get that that comes with a majority government. It typically comes after an election of a majority government. Nonetheless, splitting hairs, I just want to know your thought to the notion that that is another way in which we, Saskatchewan, lose some input in the discussion and the debates in Ottawa?
Yeah, that's an important question. And look, I know a lot of the Conservative MPs and respect a lot of the Conservative MPs from Saskatchewan. And obviously we have our own Liberal MP, Buckley Bélanger, as well, whose presence and whose voice is very important inside our government as Minister of Rural Development. He's making things happen every day for Saskatchewan and for rural Canadians. But the fact is that we had an election where the government fell two or three seats shy of a majority, but we are in an exceptional time, Evan. We are in a time where we have a trade war. There are literal wars happening in the Middle East and in Europe. We have threats of all kinds, and the government must react and must react with resolve. And I would submit to you that folks in Saskatchewan will see a government that is extremely focused on your economic well-being, on moving projects forward, on making systems like transportation work better for the people who live here, and creating careers so that families in Saskatchewan can be sure of the future, be optimistic about the future and the future for their children. And this is a government that is very, very committed, that is action-oriented, and I would argue extremely attentive to the aspirations and the optimism here in Western Canada.
Minister McKinnon, I know it's not directly related to your portfolio as Minister of Transport, but you are leader of the government in the House of Commons. The fact that we haven't seen much movement on the CUSMA negotiations, this is something that I would suggest that part of the reason why the Liberals won the election, the last federal election, was this promise of we're the best ones to get the deal done with the states. Should it be concerning to us that we haven't got it done yet?
No. Needless to say, the United States has been pretty preoccupied by, prosecuting a war in the Middle East, and the president, I know, is in China. This is the government that already has the best trade deal of any on earth with the United States. About 85% of our products continue to move across the border tariff-free. Of course, steel, I know that's an issue here in Saskatchewan. Autos, aluminum, lumber, these are major irritants, as the Prime Minister has pointed out, and we're very determined to seek resolution on those matters. But Canada stands ready to negotiate. We have a strategy. We have some of the best trade negotiators in the world, and folks should feel very optimistic that this is a Prime Minister who will not sign any deal but we'll sign the right deal for the future of our country, and one that keeps our provinces and the entire country moving ahead. Let's also, though, Evan, I'll say in conclusion on that question, we're going to double non-U.S. trade. We're going to diversify our trade markets. That's why transportation is so important. And we're going to send more things, more product down the road to the West Coast and to markets abroad in Asia, in Europe. The world wants what Canada has. And if folks want to tariff our stuff in some countries, well, we're going to send it to other places who don't.
Minister Stephen McKinnon is my guest. We are, this was a recorded conversation from earlier this morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, why the investment by the federal government in this high-speed rail line between Toronto and Montreal when we see the airline industry struggling? And that, of course, a greater impact to us out west. That's where we go with Minister McKinnon next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, we are revisiting a conversation I had with Minister Stephen McKinnon early this morning. In fact, before the show started, I connected with Canada's Minister of Transport. And where I went next was this notion of this high-speed rail line connecting Toronto and Montreal, which we know is already one of the best-served transportation corridors in the country. Yet, while the federal government subsidizes that to the tune of billions and billions of dollars, we're seeing airlines cutting back, charging more, eliminating routes, extra fees for fuel and baggage. So it's harder for people in Western Canada to travel. Meanwhile, the federal government is subsidizing this high-speed rail. Why was that a priority?
Well, let's deal with air first. Obviously, the fuel spikes caused by this war in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz is causing fuel prices to spike, not just for Canadians, but for people around the world. And we, needless to say, hope for a quick resolution of that matter. Double-edged sword, of course, we're getting more value for Canadian resources, including those in Saskatchewan. But air travel is an essential part of the Canadian landscape, and we need a healthy air travel industry. We need an accessible and affordable air travel industry, and we're committed to continuing our work on that. With respect to high-speed rail, you know, there's one proposal in Ontario and Quebec. There are other proposals floating around out there. I'll let the folks who will make those proposals talk more about them. But high-speed rail is an important part of our future. And you mentioned that it's a well-served corridor. I would argue that the 401 in Ontario and VIA service is currently not up to scratch, not satisfying what is essentially 40% of Canada's population. So we'll be coming forward with a proposal for high-speed rail that will involve private sector involvement. It won't just be taxpayer contributions, but there will be private sector involvement in that project. And it has to make sense, for all Canadians to invest in it. But it's a technology that we hope extends across the country ultimately, but one that Canada is actually late in adopting if you look around the world.
Minister Stephen McKinnon, I've literally got 30 seconds left, but I'll throw this last question in. Many people feel that we need to focus a step past just shipping commodities. We need to further incentivize value add here in Canada, particularly in Saskatchewan. We produce so many raw commodities, including from our ag sector. Do you have thoughts on what role the federal government can play to make that happen?
Well, those who say that, I completely agree. We should be processing more of our resources. We have a vibrant agricultural sector that could continue to develop into a world-leading agri-food sector. We depend on the creativity and the ingenuity of our entrepreneurs and folks who conceive of new things to do with our resources. We have Prairies Can, who is here to help on the economic development front. We have the Agriculture Department, who is extremely involved in not only helping farmers who need it, but also encouraging the development of our agri-food sector. And in terms of natural resources, I think you're seeing a very real focus on potash, on uranium, and on those other resources, critical minerals included, that Saskatchewan has in abundance and could indeed do more with to create more jobs right here for the folks at home.
That is Minister Stephen McKinnon, Canada's Minister of Transport. We caught up with him early this morning. He was doing a talk to the Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce in Saskatoon. So we managed to wrangle a chat with him before he went on stage for that conversation. Busy day today. Avi Lewis, right off the start, the new federal NDP leader. We had Premier Scott Moe. We featured that live announcement between Prime Minister Mark Carney and Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, which really is a green light to that pipeline project that we know is going to be a pipeline to the West Coast, opens up those Asian markets by fall of 2027, as long as some of the conditions that need to be met will be, along with that, a new carbon pricing agreement for Alberta. So we able to carry that live here as well. Well, as we get set for a long weekend, I would be remiss if I didn't thank the team here. Frank Ehler, who is our tech producer in Regina, Adam Gruhl in Saskatoon, and we even had a few people helping out this week. We had Chance Aspen, we had Brett Horton, we had Donovan Remenda, we had Dallas Dole. I mean, we went through the gamut this week. Thanks also to Nicole Garn and Sarah Hyde, who worked as producers of this show. I hope you have a great weekend. I've got Tuesday off, so with one extra day for me, I'll be back on Wednesday next week. Tamara Cherry is in the chair on Tuesday. Nonetheless, enjoy your Victoria Day long weekend, albeit a little bit cold and rainy, and I look forward to connecting with you here next week on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.